Well, happy Father's Day to all of the dads in the congregation this morning. We are taking a brief pause in our sermon series, The Best of Who We Are, this morning to remember and to celebrate our dads today. Now, the backstory for today's message, as Jim was just sharing with us from Scripture, emerges from the book of 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul was instrumental in leading the Corinthians away from a life of paganism into a new life that is promised in Christ Jesus our Lord. In effect, the Corinthian community, the Corinthians were turned into Christians through the efforts of St. Paul's ministry. And there's a sense of pride that Paul has about his work with the Corinthians, and he has a high degree of confidence when he sends them his spiritual son, who is Timothy. So this is a story not only about what St. Paul does in the life of a lost pagan person who may be looking for a savior, but it's also an intimate example of a loving relationship between a father, St. Paul, and his spiritual son, who is Timothy. One father had a little three-year-old daughter, and she was having trouble sleeping at night. Sometimes that happens, yes. And she'd often wake up in the night because she was afraid. And each time the dad retucked her into bed, he would remind her that Jesus was with her and that Jesus would always keep her safe through the night. And several nights in a row, she did this over and over. She woke up and she went in and she saw her father, and he would tuck her back in. And finally, one night, the dad asked her if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fear away and to help her to fall asleep again. And she said, "Oh, yes, I definitely did pray," she assured him. "I prayed to Jesus, and he told me to come in here and to get you." And that sounds like a healthy father-daughter relationship to me, and one that perhaps involves some kind of imprinting. Many of us have heard of imprinting. If you haven't, imprinting is a concept in psychology where a young mammal, when it's born, particularly certain species of birds, when it's born, there's a critical period very early after hatching where the little chick will imprint on the very first thing that it sees. Now, some birds have been known to imprint upon a farmer's pair of boots because that's the very first thing that they see after they hatch. Other birds have even imprinted upon humans themselves, following the farmer all around the barnyard. Wherever the farmer would go, the little hatchlings would follow on behind. Now, birds that are hatched in captivity don't have any mentor birds to teach them their traditional migratory patterns of flight. And so there was this guy, an Italian fella, and he is a hang glider, and his name is D'Arrigo, and he had a solution to this problem for little birds that couldn't figure out their migratory patterns because they didn't have a father bird to follow, if you will. He hatched the chicks under the wings of his glider, and they imprinted on the glider, and they imprinted on him also. And so he taught the chicks to fly and to hunt, and the young birds followed him, yes, around on the ground, but then they would also, once he got strapped into his glider and he took off, they took off with him, and he taught them how to fly. And he flew across the Sahara, and he taught other birds to fly across the Mediterranean Sea to Sicily, part of the migratory plan that these birds follow from Siberia to Iran with a flock of Siberian cranes and over Mount Everest with Nepalese eagles. So pretty amazing. Now, while this is a nice, cute way of looking at the early life of some mammals and birds, human beings can also imprint. We can. And I came across an interesting type of imprinting called the baby duck syndrome. And this is for human beings. And it denotes the tendency of computer users, yes, that's right, to imprint on the first computer system that they learn. And then they judge all subsequent computer systems based on that very first computer system that they become familiar with. Now, the issue may present itself relatively early in a computer user's experience, and it's actually been observed to impede the education of students who are trying to come to grips with new types of computer systems. They struggle with it because they've imprinted on the very first system that they've learned. So the next time, my friends, that you see a 2 or a 3 or a 4-year-old child being kept quiet in the supermarket or the doctor's office with an iPad in their hands or a lap, they are probably imprinting with that particular computer system. Amazing. So parents, please do pick the iPad of choice for your child very, very carefully, okay? Now, it may be up for grabs if infants imprint with their parents or not. If an infant is exposed to violence in the home at an early age, will that child in turn become violent later in life? Or can the opposite be true? If the imprint that a parent leaves upon a child is that of kindness, consideration, obedience, and love, will that child not also have those values imprinted upon them so that they can express that in adulthood? If an infant is exposed to the values and preferences of the parents to certain creaturely comforts at a young age, will that child not also seek out those creaturely comforts in adulthood as they grow up? Well, all of that is very, very hard to say. Scientists and sociologists, they like to speculate, does raising a child and the traits and values that they take on as adults result from nature or nurture? Is it encoded on our DNA, or is it due to the circumstances of the values of the environment that the child was raised in? We just don't know. All the evidence isn't in on that, and it may never be. One thing that is quite definitive, however, in study after study, is that a lack of a father in the home can pose many challenges for a child. In an article entitled Boys' Father Hunger, The Missing Father Syndrome, Alfred Messer states, "Father hunger often afflicts boys ages 1 to 2 whose fathers are suddenly and permanently absent. These children have been known to have sleep disturbances such as falling asleep or nightmares and night tremors and things like that after the father leaves the home." In a study by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of alcohol and drug abuse and dependency, mental illness, suicide, poor educational performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality, all for there not being a father in the home. In another book entitled Divided Families, Furstenberg and Cherlin write, "Among fathers who maintain contact with their children after a divorce, the pattern of the relationship between the father and child changes. They begin to behave more like relatives than parents. Instead of helping with homework, non-resident dads are more likely to take the kids shopping, to go to movies, or out to dinner. Instead of providing steady advice and guidance, divorced fathers can tend to become what's called in this book, treat dads." And then according to a 1992 Gallup poll, more than 50% of all adults agreed that fathers today spend less time with their kids than their fathers did with them. Think about that as you reflect on it. And then finally, in an article entitled The Parent Trap, appearing in the journal Policy Review, it is said that in 1965, parents on average spent approximately 30 hours a week with their kids. By 1985, which is even a little time ago, the amount of time had fallen to 17 hours, from 30 hours in the 60s to 17 hours in the 80s. So St. Paul wants to take fatherhood to a whole new level. Within the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about spiritual fatherhood. I'm writing this, he says, not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians or teachers in Christ, Paul says, you know what? That doesn't amount to as much as how your life would be enriched if you had one decent spiritual father. So what is spiritual fatherhood? Spiritual fatherhood is not biological or adoptive fatherhood, as important as those things are. Spiritual fatherhood is a parent-child relationship that is birthed by, as the kids were singing about this morning, sharing the gospel. And so a spiritual father could be your biological father, yes, or it could be another Christian who, like St. Paul did with his younger protege, Timothy, taught him the gospel. I had someone like that in my life, an older gentleman, a minister, an ordained United Church Christ pastor, and he taught me so many things about the gospel that he became, in a sense, my spiritual father in the Lord. Yes, I have a biological father that I relate to, but Reverend Proach became my spiritual father. So fathers, be you biological, adoptive, or spiritual, what is the gospel to teach your children as St. Paul mentions? Faithful fathers teach their children these things. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of my name's sake. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. If anything, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, it's a rather useless teaching by Jesus unless it is lived out. That is imprinting. This is what St. Paul means when he says in verse 16, "Therefore, I urge you to imitate me," he says. "Let my life be imprinted upon yours." The best compliment from any of your children, Dad, is if they follow the life of faith that you have lived. That's the best compliment. Paul can't be imitated if Paul is not followed, nor if he is not imprinted in Timothy's life. Paul imprints Jesus in his life, and Timothy, his spiritual son, imprints Paul in his life. Who has imprinted themselves in your life that you might follow Christ? And so, yes, dads, hug your children. Hold your children, teach them, defend them, protect them, and be involved in their lives. But above all, pray for them. Read God's word to them. Then show them what it means to be a Christian by how closely you demonstrate and show that you are living out the gospel in your life. Amen.